Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to learn a Greek word today. How about that? It's got a special meaning. We don't get the fullness of the meaning when we read this. Children's Church, do we have children? Yes, we do. Children's Church can be dismissed. Thank you. The word is koinonia, and I'm not 100% sure I pronounce it correctly because I didn't grow up with the language speaking Greek, but koinonia is the word, and it's spelled, if you're interested, in our English translation version of it, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia. And the challenge that we have here is koinonia in the kingdom. And I want to say before we read the text, because I think it's important to pick up on it, koinonia means intimate fellowship. It's more than just, hey, how you doing, what's the weather like, which we seem to always do no matter where we've been. Weather seems to be the number one topic of all conversations. How's the weather? Beautiful day, terrible day, windy day, rainy day, dry day. And so we have fellowship with one another, but we're talking a deeper, more intimate kind of fellowship when we see the word koinonia. It means intimacy with someone else. And I realize that that can lead to all kinds of different understandings, but I want you to grasp that this is the kind of relationship God wants to have with you. Koinonia. He wants intimate fellowship with you. That's the desire of his heart. It should be the desire of our heart. Each person is to have koinonia with God, and it comes through salvation, which, by the way, is a total surrender to him as Lord. Not just Lord, but absolute Lord. Salvation is not just a formula prayer that you pray at an altar, at a crusade of some kind, or a service where the pastor got really anointed and you got touched and then you pray a prayer and that's where it stops. Salvation is beyond that. It's something that goes to total surrender. Any amens out there? You know, for way too many years, I'm a believer in this because I've seen the results. I think we've sold a cheap salvation to too many people. And people have gone to an altar and they prayed a prayer and they walk away. They go back to their problems, their troubles, their addictions, their struggles with relationship with husband, wife, children, you name it, work. Without any true internal change because they prayed a prayer and that's where it stopped. But that's not salvation. Total surrender. Koinonia. That's salvation. True, deep, intimate fellowship with God that comes through surrender to him as absolute Lord of life. God is pursuing the intimate relationship, this intimate relationship with people. In addition to that, for each one who comes to Christ, this is where it gets really wild and awesome, there is to be koinonia with one another in the church. The intimate fellowship that you have with God will automatically pour out of you into the relationship you have with others of like faith. Koinonia with one another in the church, which is the body of Christ. Let's read the text. We'll pray, and then I'll share a few more things about this wonderful koinonia. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Think about it. John here. We have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. I think that's really an awesome opening statement. He saw the Lord. He knows he's the Word who became flesh. We know that because of his other book, right? And we have this great description of the Lord who is the Word of life by John. And it says, the life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Verse 3, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, with us. And our fellowship, koinonia, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We We write this to make our joy complete. We have intimate fellowship with you. We have intimate fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Koinonia. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. What did he say? He said, I heard this from Jesus, from God, and now we're saying it to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And this is where it gets very personal. This is where the challenge comes. It says in verse 6, if we claim to have koinonia, fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, we have koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Powerful, powerful word. Koinonia. Let's pray. Lord God, this is a very challenging word that you've given. You've given it to me, and I am here to present your truth to all who are present here today, and also for those that would later want to listen online. This is a word that is both exciting and challenging. It's also convicting. Koinonia, intimate fellowship. Lord, that's what you want with me. It is what I want with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we look to your word this day, that we will be encouraged but challenged to build our relationship with you, to grow in our relationship with you, to truly have intimacy with you, the fellowship that you've called us to. And I pray, Lord, that it affects our fellowship with one another, to truly have koinonia. Lord, help me to speak your words. Help me to present it well. And challenge me once again as you challenge all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. The other day I was in my office and a gentleman walked in the doors and it was kind of dark. It was a day where it was just me. I think it was Friday and I was just going over some things. And here this guy walks in and he came because of a technical thing he just wanted to go over. He was checking out our work with our expanding parking lot. And just wanted to let me know that he was looking at some things and just verifying that everything's okay. And so that's good. We're thankful for those guys, right? And I'm talking to this guy, and I'm thinking to myself, there's something here. You ever have that where you're like, this is a believer, this is a brother? And as I'm talking with him, he shares a little bit, and I share a little bit. Pretty soon we're talking about hunting and fishing, boating, and just fun stuff. And then, of course, we went on into church discussion, and he's from, what's the church? Alliance Church. And I just knew. I knew from the moment he walked in, this is a brother. And, of course, then that was really neat how we were able to just share that relationship. I believe that is a reflection of koinonia. The fact that you can look at a complete stranger and know immediately without skipping a beat, this is a brother or a sister in Christ. That's something special. That's something unique. It's powerful. It's wonderful. And I want to encourage you that this is the relationship God desires for you to have with him and with others. It was a great blessing, and we're not in trouble, board. Just don't worry, we're not in trouble. We're like, okay, what's that all about? We'll talk about that later. But no, we're not in trouble. Everything's fine. But it's one of the unique things that I happen to be looking at the message I'm preaching, and here's koinonia happening right here in a very unplanned way. A brother in Christ. Just for the fun of it, I have this little thing here that is totally unrelated to the message. It's just for fun. I grew up in North Dakota. I'm a North Dakota kid. We didn't have a street address until I moved to college, it was Rural Route 1, Box 101. That meant nothing, really. I mean, it meant something to somebody, but we didn't have streets back then that were numbered. And how many remember when that was changed, where every gravel road and dirt path suddenly got a sign with a street number? We're like, what's that? I don't know. This is strange. Well, it's all related to 911 and all the computer technologies and things like that. So anyway, we have the street address out there now. But if you wanted to get to my farm where I grew up, we would give you specific detailed directions. And you did not have to know what street we lived on. How many know what I'm talking about? Well, here's a funny story about some guy that was looking for directions. Man stopped his car and asked for directions at a rural convenience store. Keep going down this road until you get to the old Jones home place, then turn left. Stay on that road, and just before you cross Browns Creek, there will be a road that goes off to the right. Wait, Jones home place? What's that look like? Well, you can't see it from the road. It's about a half mile past where the big oak used to be. What big oak? After several tries, the local gave up and said, Mister, you got to know something before I can tell you something. Sometimes that's how we feel. Sometimes that's the way the world feels when we're trying to explain to them what it's like to be a born-again believing Christian. They're not going to get it until they know him. Now, that doesn't mean we don't give them great foundational truths to build on, to be a great testimony to their heart and their soul. But really, quite honestly, to expect the world to understand you without knowing the Lord is a little too much. However, when you have koinonia, intimate fellowship with God, that results in a great connection with others of like faith. Most importantly, the connection you need with the Lord. I want to challenge you, koinonia in the kingdom, you with God and one another. This is the final message that's connected to this series of knowing and doing the will of God. I believe that we must end with the most important thing, is that's relationship with the Lord. You want to know where God is leading you in your life? You better have a great relationship with the Lord. You better have koinonia. You better have an intimacy with Him. And I challenge you, if you're struggling in any area of your life, give it to Him completely. Total surrender. Total surrender. Don't be walking in darkness. Because if you are walking in darkness, you cannot be walking with koinonia, fellowship with God. The two do not mix. And God can do a miracle in your life, and I believe that with all my heart. And there are many here who would say, amen, hallelujah, I testify to the miracle that He's done in my own life. So let's talk about koinonia just for a little bit. Intimate partnership or fellowship with God and with others. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. I mentioned in the text three powerful things that John is saying. That which was from the beginning, he says, we have heard, we have seen, we have touched. That's pretty powerful. Now, it's interesting to me that when John is describing his fellowship with God as the glory of Christ in the book of Revelation, you'll notice that he fell to the ground as if he were dead when he came face to face with the glory of the Lord. And of course, Jesus had to wake him up, right? Hey, John, it's just me, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's me, buddy. It's okay, don't be afraid. But he was so awed by the presence of God that he fell out on his face as if he were dead. That's a real fun way of saying he passed out. He just fainted. And you'll see that in different places of the in the Word. It happens in the Old Testament where they just passed out. They fell as if they were dead. Yeah, that's just a fun way of saying he just went down. He's out. But John is expressing to us, the reader, that he heard the Lord's words. He saw him face to face as he was, and he actually touched him, which is powerful to comprehend. But here's the thing, you can say the same in a spiritual sense. When you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard him through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are drawn to the Father by the Spirit. There's no other way to salvation. You must be drawn. So you heard him. You have seen him in the eyes of your heart. We used to sing all the time this, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord," this great worship song that expresses that you see with your heart, not necessarily with your physical. And the seeing of your heart is just as real as you see with your eyes in this world. It's that intimacy you have through that born-again experience. You heard, you saw, and you have touched. You can sing the old song, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me," right? Oh, the joy that fills my soul. Why? Because of the power of God in your life. Intimacy with him. John is saying in the opening text that I read that this life appeared. Jesus Christ is the life. He is the one who appeared. We have seen, we testify, and we proclaim. And then the second half of that text, verses 4 through 7. I'd like to read it once again because it's powerful. "We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all." And the challenge. If we claim to have fellowship, koinonia, with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. God is light. As his light shines within you, the challenge that comes in this expressed detail is that you cannot have koinonia with God and continue to walk in darkness. Now, here's the real personal level that we need to get to. I'm just a man. You're just a man or a woman. And you can fool me, and I can fool you. But I cannot fool God. Come on. You cannot fool God. And you can say you're walking the light, and you can do all the right things, have the great appearance of one who believes, and yet deep down in your heart of hearts, you know you're living a lie. That's what we're talking about. Do you know him? There is no darkness in God. And as you give yourself to him, not just say a prayer, and I don't want to belittle the experience, because I had a great experience at the altar when I was about 7 years old. And I remember coming to that altar, and I shared it once before, and I prayed the sinner's prayer, not because I knew the prayer, but because my Sunday school teacher helped me. God bless her for that. And she helped me pray this great prayer that was just opening my heart to the Lord, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior that day. And I will tell you that the burden that lifted from me, I had not known how heavy it was until after it was gone. And as I shared with you at that time, if you were here, I said I felt so light I thought I could fly. I felt like I could just jump and just keep on going because that burden was so heavy. I had no idea how heavy it was until I came to Christ in salvation. And many, if not all of you who've expressed that born-again experience will say the same. And that's koinonia. That is an intimate fellowship, intimacy with God. His Spirit comes to you, and you are now the temple of his Holy Spirit. And things change when you have intimacy with the Lord. Your desires change. Your agenda gets rewritten And you no longer walk in darkness. You no longer have the concept of this is all about me. You know, that's the world we live in today, is it not? That's the America that we have. We have been pursuing the American dream for so long, we have not realized how evil it really can be. The American dream, everybody wants to come to America. Why? To get something from America, right? We want to live in America so that we can go forward, that we can get all the things that we want to have. The American dream, it's a great thing. Well, it can be if you take whatever God's blessed you and turn it back to Him. But it can also be one of the greatest stumbling blocks in your walk with Christ if all you're caring about is what you can get out of this world. And then it comes down to the church experience. And I tell people, you want to have a great, growing, wonderful relationship with God? Then as you come into the doors of your church, wherever it is, if it's here or if it's another place, we're thankful you're here. But wherever that might be, if you come with the idea of what can I get out of this, you're more than likely going to walk away disappointed. But if you come with the concept of what can I give to this, come on. What can I give of myself for this experience with the Lord in fellowship with my brother and sister? What can I give of myself to make it even better? What can I do for God today that I couldn't do yesterday? What can I do for the brother and sister in Christ who's hurting? What can I do to make their joy complete? What can I do to add to what God is doing? When you come with that kind of heart, things are different. Life is better. Why? Because you're doing it God's way. Because of the koinonia, the fellowship, the intimacy with God, it's no longer about you. It's all about Him. And when you come with that heart, you will never leave disappointed. Come on. I have yet to talk to somebody that's been disappointed in a church experience who had that heart. However, I've had many conversations with people who said, it just didn't work for me. It just didn't work for me. There wasn't anything there for me. Or whatever it was that you said, that wasn't for me. It's like, well, I'm sorry, I'm sad. But let's be honest, if we come with a different heart, it changes things. And you will be blessed. Hallelujah. I remember the testimony of a guy from Phoenix, Arizona, when we were at pastor school with Tommy Barnett, but way back in 2001 or two. And this guy was a multimillionaire. The guy was really rich. We're all just going, ooh, wow, this ought to be good. You know, here's a rich man sharing a great testimony. And it was. It was really amazing. I couldn't believe it. And if I could remember what company he was representing, you all would know the company. It was a big name. It was, I don't know, it was IBM, or it wasn't Microsoft, because Bill Gates, we still pray for him, right? I don't know Bill, so I've never met him. So maybe he knows the Lord today. That'd be awesome. But whatever the case, this guy had it going, and he said that when he gave his life to Christ, things started to change, and he started giving to the Lord, and God challenged him that he wasn't giving enough. And the guy's like, hey, I'm tithing. And that's a pretty big deal, right? Tithing's a big deal. And God says, that's not enough. and he ended up, the way his testimony was going is his goal was to live off of $100,000 a year. And I'm kind of thinking, that's my goal. No, not really. And I'm thinking, that's. But you got to realize, this guy was taking in millions every year. And he was giving to every great ministry that he could imagine or be led to by the Spirit of God. And he was so excited about how he was giving away 90%+ of his income every year to serve the Lord. I was like, whoa, how does that even happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. It happens through koinonia. Now, he wasn't saying that to challenge everybody. You need to do what I'm doing. No, he said that to say, this is the way God's leading me. Then he turned that around and says, how is God leading you? We all have a different way of expressing and living our love for the Lord? What's the way God's leading you to live and to give of yourself for Him? It's a powerful testimony that was made real because of koinonia. You cannot walk in darkness and also have koinonia. It just doesn't work. That's kind of like James talking about the salt water and the fresh water. They don't mix. You can't have a spring that comes with both. It's going to be one or the other. You know, that tongue that you have, what does it say? Amen. Preach it, right? So we have koinonia with God, which is the foundation of all that we are in Christ, and it moves on beyond us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." We have koinonia with one another. And the blood of Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So I want to talk about koinonia with the body, with the local body. If we walk in the light, then we will have intimate fellowship with one another. Jesus told us, "If you love me, you obey my commands," right? He also says that the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I made the comment a few weeks ago that we always like to say, "I have to love you, but I don't have to like you." Remember that? I don't believe that's true. I don't know how to love someone I don't like. I like our diversity. I like that you're not me. And I know you like that I'm not you. Right? I like that you're different. I like that we don't think the same. Life would be so boring if we all thought the same way. And my brain works in strange ways once in a while. I come up with some weird ideas. I mean, she's just like, "Oh boy." You know, if there was a king of dad jokes, I think I would probably take the crown. You know, just silly things like that. We're different, and I love it. I love that we're different, and I love that we are one by the Holy Spirit. How can God take such a diverse group of people and make them one? Only through His power and love. Through the intimate fellowship with God, which is spreading beyond Him to us through koinonia with the Lord. Now, there are going to be situations where we're going to have more things in common. And I think those are okay to build on. I think that's cool. But we must love all. Amen? You have to love me. And I would go so far as to say, you have to like me. Well, you don't have to always agree with me. We're not going that far. We don't always agree, right? We have different ideas, and that's what makes it so awesome. That's why when we have a board meeting, it's great to hear everybody's input, because everybody has a different angle to look at one specific thing. And it creates a diverse and healthy relationship that is allowing for us to seek God and go in the direction He's leading, not the way one strong individual might lead. Right? Amen. Koinonia is so wonderful. It's so wonderful that we can have love for one another. Let's get down to some other things that are also in the book of 1 John. Chapter 4. Speaking of this love, one with another. 1 John 4, verse 11 and 12. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God," which is, you might think that's contradictory, and yet I believe he's referring to the full glory of God, not Jesus before he died and rose, but he's talking about this sense of the glory of God. Moses was the one that came the closest to seeing God in his full glory, and he only saw his heel. That's the best way to translate that Hebrew word. The heel of God. Basically, the sole of his foot. The backside of the Lord. And Moses saw God in that way, and he radiated when he came from the mountain of Sinai. "So no one has seen God, but we love one another. God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. So here's the challenge. We should love one another. That's simple. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 now, verse 9 through 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light, we're still referring to that koinonia, that God is light, there's no darkness in him, therefore we should love one another, right? Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Don't be blinded by darkness. Love one another. First John chapter 3. Verse 14 through 19. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. That's pretty powerful. What's the evidence that you have come to faith, that you have koinonia? The evidence of your true born-again experience is how you love one another. Jesus said that in his own words, and here we have it once again. Anyone who does not love remains in death. That's the second part of that verse 14. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Wow. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Well, now, Lord, you're just meddling, right? It's fine to talk about this existential love, this thing that we feel, this thing that we express through words and maybe a handshake or a hug, but now we're talking about real down-to-earth material blessing. Now we're just meddling, right? You should see the way you guys are looking at me right now. You're like, you're making me nervous. Stop that. But think about it. How does the world know that we love? It's by our actions. It's by how we treat one another. We actually were in a situation, and I won't go into detail, but it was a very difficult, ugly situation. And there was a family from our church witnessing to their friends. And they said, you need to come to church with us someday. And they said, why would we want to go there? And went on to describe in detail why they wouldn't ever go to our church. And it goes back to this very thing. The conflicts that were taking place in the church had gotten so disturbing that even the community knew, don't go to that one. They don't love one another. Why would they love me? Come on. Wow. Very, very difficult place to be. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. This is a challenge. Oftentimes I will hear of different things that are concerns, if you will, ministry-wise, and here's not really a standard answer because I try to be led by the Spirit, but this often comes around, is if there is a problem, I want to ask the person that's complaining or pointing out the problem, would you be willing to be part of the solution? I would love to say that every single time I say that, they go, oh, yes, I would. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. I've had people say, we need to have this kind of ministry. I'm like, that's a great idea. Are you gonna lead that? Oh, no. Kind of like Ducky from Land Before Time, right? That's an old movie. I'm showing my age. I do believe that often when you begin to see something that's lacking, and let's be honest, there's a lot of things in our church that we could do better, and there's more things that we could do than what we're doing currently. And I believe the Lord speaks to his people and begins to bear those out. And you're possibly being led by the Spirit to say, this is something we need, and is there a way that I can be the solution to the need? But too often we have 80 to 90% of the people that assemble that say, this is what we need, but I'm not going to be a part of that. And you got 10 to 15, maybe 20%, if you're really lucky, from the assembly that actually do all the things that we can finally get together and do. Can you imagine what a church would be? Contemplate this. What would a church look like if 80 to 90% were actually doing ministry? Yeah, now you should see how you look at me. This does not happen because of your goodwill. It doesn't happen because of your incredible schooling and intellectual knowledge. It doesn't happen because of any other thing than koinonia, intimate fellowship with God that is pouring out from you into the fellowship of the brothers and sisters in Christ with a desire to obey Christ because that's how you show his love. And do the very things he's calling you to do. Now, everybody here is unique and different, right? I just went over that. And I'm going to ask you, what is your unique gift? I don't know you well enough to say what that is. Only you do, and the Lord. There's so many things that I'd love to see our church being able to do, but we're so limited with where we can go right now. And I want to challenge you that koinonia is where the answer lies. It doesn't come from a program. It doesn't come from a pulpit where you preach just the right message. I hope that today this is the right message, but that's not going to get any traction unless we put it to practice. By going home to our quiet place and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I've been so busy, I haven't even taken the time to listen. Where are you at now? You know, it's not about coming with great ideas. It's finding out what the Lord's doing and riding that wave. I got a cousin who married a professional surfer, and he's a great guy. His testimony is so powerful. His name is Noah, which just seems to fit for a surfer, right? Noah Snyder, you can look him up, Google him if you like. Noah Snyder got saved at a youth rally at the Ark. True story. The youth convention or gathering, whatever that facility was, that youth place, it was called the Ark. And so Noah goes in with his buddies and they get radically saved. And I'm like, that is so cool. I love sharing that testimony. Noah got saved at the Ark. How fun is that? And I have no idea why I brought Noah up now. I was having so much fun with his testimony. I don't know. Maybe he'll come back. Oh, there you go. Thanks, Tina. She's my wonderful helpmate. She makes me look good. He's riding that wave. Noah can't create a single wave out there. And he likes to do those curls with his GoPro, and he's going through that, and the water's falling. He doesn't make the waves. He just rides them. And I believe God is making waves all the time. And we're all sitting in our committees and our meetings and our pastoral studies trying to come up with a wave. And God's saying, man, have you opened your eyes? There's waves. Just get your board and get on them. Begin riding the waves of God. See where he leads you by the power of his Holy Spirit. How can you do that? It comes through intimacy. It comes through koinonia with the Lord. You have fellowship with God and you have fellowship with one another. Therefore, we need to follow his lead in those relationships and see where he takes us. And I believe that we're going to see great things in Glendive Assembly of God. Because he has great people and you're it. You are the great call of the Lord. And there's other great churches, by the way, which I mentioned the friend I just met. And I'm not going to tell you who he is yet. But I'm hoping that I can connect. I went home and I told Tina, I met this really great guy. We had this great, cool talk. And we're talking about, well, what did he come for? Well, because of some stuff back there. And he wanted to check that out, all legal stuff. But there are other churches in our community that are preaching the gospel. I want to say that again because one yes isn't. There's other churches in our community preaching the gospel. And we should celebrate that. We should find ways that we can work together with our family because we have koinonia one with another. It goes beyond these four walls, by the way. Wow, I'm just radical today. We are part of God's family and we are part of his kingdom. Let's let this koinonia, this intimacy with the Lord, spread out beyond these four walls into our community. Let's find brothers and sisters in Christ that are also in the same place and let's do something together. Let's combine our efforts. And I'm not saying with a program, but let's support one another for crying out loud. When you hear about another church, go, oh yeah, that's that other church. No, say, praise God, they're preaching the gospel over there. If you have a hard time doing that, be careful that you do not become self-righteous. I believe the Assemblies of God is one of the greatest fellowships that there is. It's interesting, by the way, if you go to the details of the Assemblies, we are not a denomination. Did you know that? Legally speaking, we are not a denomination. They purposely use this word called fellowship. Intentionally chose the word fellowship. And if you ask anybody in the higher up levels, they'll say very emphatically, we are not a denomination, we are a fellowship. Why? Why would they say that? I used to wonder, why not just say we're a denomination? Well, technically speaking, we're not. We are a fellowship of believers of like faith. And we have a doctrine that we've accepted as the Lord's, and we're moving together in fellowship with God, in koinonia. And I think that's a great testimony to who we are ministering with and through. But I will say this, we are not perfect. I have yet to meet the perfect church. I've yet to meet the perfect pastor, the perfect member. And I had somebody once say that there's too many hypocrites in the church. I'm not going to go to church. And I said, you know what the problem is? And they're like, what is that? I said, there's people there. You know, there was this really awesome, perfect church, and then people showed up. We're going to make mistakes. Come on. We're going to make some bad choices, but let's make fewer this year than we did last year. Come on. I know you can stop making bad choices. I can stop making bad choices. Now, mistakes are one thing. Oops. Those things happen, but don't be making those purposeful, intentional, deviated, walking, specific actions that you know is disregarding God's word. Stop doing that. Come on. Okay, praise God. Koinonia. Let us not become proud or self-righteous. There are other churches preaching koinonia with God. That's in my notes even. Wow. Sometimes I say things that aren't even in my notes, but this one's there. And this brother that I met the other day, I'm going to say his name because there's so many. There's another Kevin in town. His name's Kevin. Some of you probably know him. Great guy. And he knows some of the people I've gotten to know. There's other believers in town. Hallelujah. Oh, boy, it's still getting kind of... We're going to get there. We'll get there. And I'm going to say this, the superintendent who just recently got elected, he has actually put out a word to the ministerial that he wants to find ways that we can help the school more. Praise God. That's huge. That's a big deal. And I don't know the man. I don't believe I've met him yet. But I believe that's a great open door that we can seek the Lord and find ways to help our community because of koinonia. Intimacy with God, intimacy one with another. We need to pray for our partners in Christ. Pray for the other churches in town. I had a pastor, you know, sharing some things, and part of that is they just wanted to reach more people and to grow. And I said, that'd be so awesome if you would grow. And he looked at me, really? You say that? And you're another pastor in the town? I said, yeah. But here's my experience with churches that are growing. Other churches of like faith grow too. It happens a lot. And we have to quit worrying about competing and begin working together. Now, I'll say there are going to be situations where doctrinally we just can't quite line up. That's a true statement. But let's not go into our relationships with others with that wall when we don't know the person. And you will know them because of koinonia. And it's awesome. Some of my dearest friends, as well as favorite authors and speakers, are from other denominations. And I've got many wonderful speakers, authors, friends from the assemblies, but I have others that I follow that are not because of koinonia. Intimacy with God, intimacy with one another. Would you stand with me as we close?